Welcome to the Essential Craftsman podcast. I'm Nate. I've got my dad here, the Essential Craftsman. How are you doing?
Howdy. Glad to be here.
We're gonna do our best to talk about coronavirus and the effect it's having on our lives and just the way that we are thinking about it. And it'll probably change tomorrow. It's every day of the last 3 weeks has been a new revelations, new studies, new information. So.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, it'll certainly change tomorrow. I know I felt differently yesterday than I do today, and I think I felt differently the day before that. So I think I should expect that tomorrow, what we say here may be obsolete, but here we go, right?
So generally speaking, are you concerned, or is it just the flu, and are you blowing it off?
So I started out thinking, you know, looking at the mortality and contagion numbers and thinking, well, you know, it's a lot worse than the flu, but, you know, it's not orders of magnitude worse than the flu. And then I watched the numbers kind of change and morph and began to think about the contagion thing and the fact that I didn't understand any of it as a carpenter and a blacksmith. And, you know, after talking to you and other people that I trust, I thought, you know, I need to shake off the macho thing. This is not about getting up on a roof without a rope and because that's how I always did it. This is about taking a hard look at what it might actually be like for our community and maybe adopting a different posture. So I've changed my posture.
It is so hard to know. We're just used to so much information, all of it conflicting, all of it like 100% confidence from different sides.
Yeah.
And it is so hard to know who to believe, what's true, what's not, what you can just brush off.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
So, you know, to that, I heard somebody, I don't remember who it was last night, I was listening to someone saying that certainty and wisdom are almost mutually exclusive. Now, that's not the way he said it, but that when someone is approaching something that is relatively unknown or new or really large, if the topic is large and they're coming at it with certainty, that indicates a certain lack of wisdom.
Yeah.
And boy, that sure seems true to me with this, that every voice that is not interested in learning anything new probably is not the voice to listen to.
Yeah, that's right. And that's especially true as it unfolds and we have a lot more information now. People who are maybe sticking to a line of thought they had weeks ago is sort of like you wonder if that person's more committed to proving a point than to looking at the facts and getting, you know, the actual truth of the matter out on the table.
For sure.
So what we thought we would do is I've got six, not questions, but recurring thoughts or comments or text messages that I've received from friends and family, basically six different takes about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that certain ones are right and certain ones are wrong. I think lots of these are all true, but they're all really important. The first one we just mentioned, it's just the flu. Mm-hmm. I think we can safely say that it's not.
It's not in both directions. It's not the flu that we're used to, and it's also not the Spanish flu. I mean, the Spanish flu in, what was it, 1918 or 1919, that was a serious disease. It would kill people, they say, within hours, including people in their prime.
Yeah.
And so this is not that, but this is also not the flu that we go in every fall as an old person and get a shot for. This is something much more serious or potentially serious than that.
And the flu doesn't put San Francisco on lockdown. The flu doesn't shut down the NBA season and every school, I don't know if it's every school in the nation. I know in Oregon,
it's growing.
Shut down.
Yeah.
So it's not separate from the virus itself. The panic, the reaction, it's something different. And so it's not the flu.
And so that's an excellent point that there are two different dynamics here. There's the illness, the virus, and its effects on human physiology. And there's the fact that it's showing up in 2020 when everywhere we go, the mantra is always safety first. And the way that society is going to react to this is its own threat, or can be, which is a threat that exists because of a desire to do a good thing, but it's still a threat.
Yeah. I've got a lot of comments and texts from friends who are acting more concerned about the panic than the virus. And I think that's fair.
Fair enough.
Panic is really scary. We don't live in a big city, but I would be kind of scared if I was downtown in a huge city, and I don't know that. A lot of you listeners may be, but
certainly
I
are.
Don't know. It seems like panic, people can do some crazy things. So I don't think there's reports of riots or looting or
haven't heard anything like that.
Big like violent break-in. So I don't think we're at that point. I don't know. I don't think we'll get to that point.
I don't think we're getting to that point. Our supply chain is intact.
Yeah.
Warehouses are bulging with food. I mean, I mean, a month ago, nobody was worried about toilet paper, which means there was a lot of toilet paper on the ground in the supply chain, and it's still there. And the stuff that's not in the supply chain is in our cupboards. And so this is not, we don't have a shortage, but we're definitely in a different place.
Yeah, but the panic aspect is, it's fair to be concerned about people overreacting to this because
I think so.
It certainly could happen. Now, if you're watching this on YouTube, on our main channel, you already heard about this snowstorm that happened a year ago. But for you podcast listeners, we'll just catch you up real quick. A year ago in Roseburg, there was a snow event that shut down town for how long? Give them like the quick Reader's Digest version.
It was a 50-year snow event where we had 2 days of soaking rain, and then it started snowing one afternoon, a super wet snow on the ground. It was all soaked up, and the trees by the millions, that's not the smallest exaggeration, just went to the ground around here. You could just hear them hitting the ground and branches breaking off. We have one little rural electric company in North Douglas County, Douglas Co-op. It's started out as a cooperative to get power out into the hinterland, right, where the population almost wouldn't support it on a profitable basis. Anyway, 90% of their power lines were on the ground. Mm-hmm. And so that was an emergency because, for instance, Cy and Maxine are serviced by that company, and they were without power for 3 or 3.5 weeks. That's a long time when there's snow on the ground not to have the power on.
So if you're watch the video if you're listening to this, because we have some footage of that. And I bring it up again because that was a much different front line than what this crisis is, than what the front line of this crisis is. I'm not worried about the power grid or the gas stations or food.
Right.
I'm worried about, I've got a brother-in-law who's a nurse.
Yeah.
And I've got a father-in-law now and three grandparents who are over 80 years old.
That's right. A couple of them compromised, really compromised.
And I am worried about them.
Yeah, for
sure. So it's a different front line. And the families of our medical community who's have to deal with their family members working around the clock. Hasn't happened yet, but that's the
And the people we know and love, like your brother-in-law, who are in the healthcare industry, who are just about to have a really long, grueling shift in a pretty dangerous environment that they have to work through. Now, having said that, something we talked about earlier, we have to acknowledge, when we talk about this, we're out of our lane.
Yeah.
When we bring an opinion about an event or contagion or treatment or economies, we are out of our lane. And that feels a little shaky, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's why we wanted to do it this way. So you get the feeling that this is the conversation that we would be having, whether the camera was rolling or not. These are the thoughts and ideas that are going through our head. And so it felt like in some ways we had an obligation to acknowledge it. We have a bunch of videos ready to come out, and it was feeling a little silly to like put them up right now, knowing that a lot of you are going through some extremely stressful and weird times.
Yeah, a lot of you are feeling things right now that you maybe have never felt before, apprehension and insecurity. And
I am as well.
Yeah, it's nuts.
So you should know this as well. My dad and I are both extremely paranoid, even among our family. We are on the outer edge, the
lunatic fringe,
the wide fringe of paranoid people. So for us, this is we've thought about these things before, but it's still strange to be experiencing it.
Yeah, it All is. Right.
So a couple other of these comments I'm getting here. I haven't seen this comment, but I saw it on Twitter a lot. I've been prepping for years. Bring it on.
So that's a juvenile attitude, right? I mean, it's not so self-reliance is important to me. And like you just mentioned, it's important to us. And I feel like self-reliance is at least a gentler way to say prepared than to say I'm a prepper. But I think it also indicates a different mindset that you're not. So we just came out of the snowmageddon, right? And what do you call it, a battle line?
The front line?
Front line, yeah. On that front line, the fact that I had a generator and some gas was really a good thing. On this front line, I hadn't really thought of this, about how to voluntarily quarantine and keep little people entertained and not have everybody climbing the walls.
Yeah.
And how do you decide which of your own children and their families to interact with in order to keep grandpa minimally exposed? And so it has shifted, and self-reliance or prepping, you know, I'm a prepper, bring it on. You don't bring on a situation where you have to be concerned about the health of the 85-year-old people that are in your care.
Yeah.
You know, you can only think about prepping in terms of sort of a selfish, me first sort of an attitude. And that's not what I don't, and that's no good. It's just no good.
Yeah.
Even if self-reliance is good, I've been prepping for years, bring it on, is living the life of an animal, where all you're concerned about is your welfare,
yeah,
your health, your strength, your food. Ah, okay, I get that, but not for me, thanks.
Yeah, I'm scared of those people who have that mm-hmm. mindset because,
yeah,
we're all kind of in the same boat.
We're in the same boat.
Regardless right. of what your pantry looks like.
That's right.
We are still in the same boat here.
That's right.
And it's possible that life isn't going to look the same going forward,
that's
regardless
right.
of what your prepping situation was. Now,
that's
that
right.
next comment, and this actually was a text from a really close friend. You can't live scared. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Just go about business as usual. There are worse things that can happen than you get sick from some virus. I guess that's kind of the same as the it's just the flu mindset.
It is.
And I hope that this has been kind of discredited now. The impact to the market alone shows you that, yeah, it is worse than getting sick from some virus. It's our entire economy
yep.
Imploding.
And you can't go about business as usual because
yeah.
business is not going to go about business as usual.
Yeah, exactly.
And it, I mean, situational awareness, right? I mean, situational awareness, whether it's in social interaction or if you're walking down a deserted street at night and you hear someone walk, whatever it is, situational awareness is important, including now.
Yeah.
And you can't draw all your situational awareness from the nightly news. But you can't go about business as usual.
Yeah. Okay, I heard this from some family this weekend, and I thought it was interesting. We should be doing what the UK is doing and shoot for herd immunity, quarantine the old folks, and let it run through everyone else.
Hmm. I have no opinion. I don't understand it. I'm not an epidemiologist. I don't know. Does that work? Is that a possibility?
I don't know. I don't even know if that's what the UK is doing or not, but it's amazing how different countries are, if that is the case, are taking completely different.
You know, I heard a reference on some talking head that I walked by a television screen somewhere talking about that the UK was anticipating herd immunity. And I thought, huh, herd immunity. Okay. What does that even mean?
I don't know. I did see a report or a headline that talked about people in China, I think, who had contracted it multiple times.
Whoops.
So I don't know if that's true or not, but I don't know if we know enough about this virus yet to make assumptions like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's a good strategy. Either way, probably make sure your older parents and grandparents are safe and inside and drop their food off.
There's the takeaway. There's the takeaway.
Either way.
Take care of your old folks. So when you're worried about yourself and your kids, as you should be, call your mom, right? Find out what's going on there. And if you're lucky enough, like I am, to live close to two sets of parents, I don't need to say this. Take responsibility for your people, for the most vulnerable among us. And maybe that's an old person that lives across the street. Take some responsibility for them, right? I mean, maybe their kids are removed by distance and maybe by emotional distance, which is it's a longer distance. Emotional distance is longer than any geographical distance. But anyhow, take some responsibility for those old
yeah.
people. I've heard that the mortality rate among those, particularly those who have a compromised system, can get up into the 14-15%. Wow. That's way worse than a flu.
Yeah, I would not want to take those odds mm-mm. with someone I
no,
cared
thank
about.
Thank you.
So if you're going to the store, check with your neighbor, elderly neighbor. Can I bring you something back? You need anything?
Yeah.
I'll pick it up for you. If you're a younger, healthy person who's
yep.
doing that type of thing,
help your
neighbors and communities.
And how about this? Don't wait till you're going to the store. Maybe you go over there and say, "Hey, would it help you if I went to the store?"
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a time to think about the efficacy of the golden rule, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, the whole notion about doing for other people what you would really like somebody to do for your folks or for you.
Yeah.
That's the way out of this.
Next regularly occurring comment I see. It's the government seizing liberties and expanding reach that we should actually be worried about here. Well, that would definitely not be wrong.
maybe that, but let's put it on the list. Let's not make that the exclusive thing.
It's okay? Maybe we should also be worried about here.
Yeah. After we figure out what our self-reliance looks like and what our neighbor's welfare looks like, then maybe that would be something that we would spend some time talking about. But yeah. not today, right?
But there's certainly no doubt. You think the last big event like this, and the only one, actually two, in my lifetime, it was 9/11. I was 19. And the 2008 market crash that were real, like, whoa, history. And after both of those, major mm-hmm. new government programs mm-hmm. and that have had their own, like, you know, decades yeah. of impact. So mm-hmm. I think we could certainly expect more of the same after this. So mm-hmm. That's probably a valid concern. All right, next comment here. The real, and this is the last one I've got on our list. The real concern is the market crashing and the effect on the economy. This will end many more lives than coronavirus.
Okay. So I heard a thing last night, and it was beautifully articulated, that we have two entirely valid concerns that are in tension, that are opposing each other. And one is the concern about health and life. Okay. Everybody has that concern. The other is the concern about the health and vitality of the economy. And some people have that concern more than others. But even though these two things are in opposition, we have to figure out some way to find out where they connect. And there has to be enough wisdom somewhere to understand how the choices to support one will negatively impact the choices to support the other, going both ways.
Yeah.
And what that boils down to is something, as I understand it, called statistical homicide, where there are policies and decisions relative to standard of living and access to health care and nutrition and hygiene and transportation and education and all these things that are social choices that are made both at the government level and at the individual level. But at the policy level, mm-hmm. there are choices that can be made there that either intentionally or unintentionally lower standards of living to where people's personal behavior tend towards less towards health and more towards sickness, less towards safety and more towards risk, less towards stability and more towards instability. And those things can happen because of choices that were made to affect other good things. And you can't see the deaths that occur except until you look at it in the statistical format, and then those numbers spread out across the population can add up to much greater loss of life than the individual cases that you can see in a hospital bed as a result of an accident or a virus. Mm-hmm. And I think it's real. Statistical homicide, I think, is entirely real, and people don't think about it. I mean, what's that famous quote? I think it was Marx or Lenin or somebody, that the death of one is a tragedy, the death of a million is a statistic.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
This is another one that this can also be true, or maybe we should also be concerned about the economic impacts of this.
Have to be.
Airline industries shutting down, restaurants obliterated. You know, if I don't know the numbers, but if only, you know, 1 out of 10 businesses survive anyways, and a lot of businesses are operating on very thin margins.
Tight.
Something like this can... It's a deal killer. And then the personal impact, you know, people's marriages and relationships with their families and
yep.
their mental health, that it can really, truly, an economic crisis has very tangible
yep.
effects on the world and on our communities and on ourselves. And I think we should definitely be concerned about an economic downturn.
Can't disregard that. I mean,
yeah.
So 2008, 2009 was an economic catastrophe for me. Contractor, Pacific Northwest. And so having sampled that when I was still in what should have been a very productive period of my life, I have a much more profound dread now of deep recession than I did before.
Yeah. The world has gone through a lot of hard times before. One of the last ones that's talked about a lot in the United States is World War II,
yeah.
where when that the whole world. Now, obviously, it's a world war, so it wasn't yeah. unique to us.
Yeah, and we had it much easier than lots of other places.
But when that happened, it was expected, or at least the way it worked, was women went into the workforce to build armaments and weaponry, and obviously the dads and men went to war, and it was a huge sacrifice. Life changed big time. There wasn't an expectation for bailouts or this shouldn't affect my standard of living. It was kind of like everybody knew this is going to be a new, this is a new time. And it was, and it's, I think it would be a mistake to think that we should be able to go through something like this without any impact on ourselves. So let's
just reiterate that we are out of our lane here. I mean, we are not political commentators. We're not historians, but we are lower middle class people, blue collar people grappling with the changes that have been brought to our doorstep and our community by this coronavirus. From a certain perspective, I hope to use this to cement my family even tighter together. You know, even if we do want to, in fact, let me tell you this. My son-in-law, Ben, who lives north of here a couple hours, has pneumonia right now. Now, he's been tested, and he's been waiting to hear back from the test, and it does not seem likely to him or anyone else that it is COVID-19 caused. But still, the young man's sick, and he has a house full of kids. And so when we're on the other side of this, I'm going to feel less entitled to having a family that is always healthy and to having circumstances always gentle. And maybe I'll be more tuned in to some of the better responses that can come from that.
Yeah. Another one of the front lines of this situation that is very real to me is parents with young kids, because it is not easy to be cooped up in your house with young kids. And wow.
Yeah.
Moms and dads who are now having to entertain those guys 24/7. That's going to be a source of stress. And my wife, Allie and I are trying to just get our expectations and do some deep breathing. Like, okay, we can do this and it's going to be tough. And
I'm loving life as a grandparent right now. Yeah. See ya. Okay. It's good. So there was a funny Facebook post that Kelly read to me last night, and I won't get it right, but it was something like, I've homeschooled for exactly 8 hours and 11 minutes today because my kid's school is closed. And I now know that teachers should make $1 billion a year.
It's hard to have this conversation and not have it come across as scary and negative. And I don't know what quite to say about that, aside from that's just, I don't know, this is a little scary. I think generally, I feel positive and I'm an optimistic person. So I think that luckily for us, this is going to land in a way we're kind of in a rural community and we can work sort of outside of the big crowds and get work done, thankfully. But
so think about this. The people in third world countries, if they were listening to this right now, they would be nauseated to hear us even talk about these things because of the reality of their life and living on the edge all the time. No idea how they're going to feed their family tomorrow, much less next week. And they never have known, mm-hmm. you know, and so they would have to be looking at those of us in the United States and Western Europe who have had it so good for so long and have had so many other things to fight about that had nothing to do with survival, and saying, like, welcome to a pale representation of my world, right?
We are definitely going to learn a lot. The whole country, each one of us is going to come out of this with a lot more information, and we'll look at disease, we'll look at the flu, we'll look at personal preparedness, we'll look at probably our livelihoods and in just a completely different way. And it would be great if this kind of washed out over the summer and we look back and roll our eyes and think like, geez, calm down, wasn't that bad. That would be great. But man, it's hard to know. It's hard to know what it could look like. And at this point with some of these big, quarantine lockdowns, that's very real. So
it is as real as real gets.
It's making it feel pretty serious. All right. Well, I don't know if this is helpful for anybody. And keep your chin up. Do your best to keep an open mind about the news and the reports and the facts. And
learn,
pick them up as they go. If you have your mind made up on it, that's good. But I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of new information coming out. So let's let the new information land, and maybe we can adjust course.
You know, certainty and wisdom don't often coexist. But here's the thing. We'll be back to our regular programming like in about 8 hours. Like, we've got a lot of videos coming out. The spec house, the windows are ready to go in. Let me spoil a couple of things. Yeah. We're ready. The windows are in town, going to be delivered to the job site day after tomorrow. They're going to be installed. The zip system is going to be taped carefully. We're going to be coming up with the siding. The trim's going on. and then we'll be inside. In the meantime, there's lots more content coming out of the blacksmith shop, and then we have a chance of saying some things with certainty and not being laughed at. So anyway, thanks.
And one more comment. If you're watching this on our main channel, you're getting a look at our podcast setup. We film these and put them on our second channel, EC2, which, by the way, is where we're going to be putting new or experimental content. In other words, stuff that we wouldn't maybe put on our main channel, like talking about camera gear. We've had to learn a lot about that. We'll probably put that type of stuff on the second channel for those of you who are interested, and try to keep Essential Craftsman focused on the same stuff it was from the beginning. We don't want to do any kind of switcheroo, but if you're interested in things outside of our normal topics, that would be a place to check out.
Yep. So anyway, batten the hatches, check on your neighbors, don't be selfish, and don't be scared. Just be smart.
Okay, well, with that, we're going to wrap this podcast up. Thanks for tuning in. If you have inside information or ideas that are important, please put them in the comments. Good luck while in your situation, in your town, with your people. I really wish you all the best. Any last words?
There's two things. In the Northern Hemisphere, spring is coming, and I got to love that. And you may not be a praying person. I am. It is a good thing, especially in days like this.